This is the latest stage in using the understanding of electricity for a new technology. The consequences of the telegraph and computer took decades to become clear. The future that insights into neurotransmitters will create still remains to be seen. The great breakthrough in using them for detailed psychological control came at the Indianapolis labs of the Eli Lilly Company in the early 1970s. Many researchers had known that the neurotransmitter called serotonin is important in setting our moods. There are many qualifications, but roughly, individuals who have low amounts of serotonin in their brains often feel depressed. Yet how to control it? Blasting the brain with a powerful chemical such as thorazine will make us a bit better, but thorazine, alas, has the accuracy of a flamethrower and attacks many other useful circuits in the brain. The result, when thorazine alone was used, were mental hospitals where patients could be taken out of their straitjackets, but only because they could be trusted to sit vacantly in lawn chairs, having lost much of their personalities in the process. What the Eli Lilly researchers found was an ingeniously indirect way to raise the level of serotonin and nothing else. They couldn't make more serotonin come out, but they could make the little bit that did appear stay in operation much longer. For serotonin levels are controlled not just by how much is poured out from firing nerve cells in the brain, but also by how quickly the demolition crews, the janitorial molecules, floating in the gaps between brain cells, grind them apart and lug them back to the transmitting cell to be reabsorbed. If someone isn't producing enough serotonin, or if the receptors for it aren't working well, why not just slow down the demolition and reabsorption process? Prozac pours out small, electrically glistening molecules that latch on to several of the molecules active in the demolition process and stop them from working at full efficiency. The result? With the demolition molecules out of commission, the small amount of serotonin that's naturally dribbling out doesn't get destroyed so quickly. Its levels remain steady or even rise. We feel better. The Scottish philosopher David Hume used to wonder what it would be like to be the manager of a playhouse, standing backstage and watching all the different characters racing about. By those characters, he meant the different aspects of his personality. He lived around the time of the American Revolution, when Volta, who started off our story, was still a young man. So Hume had no idea that all those characters were held inside his mind as patterns of electricity shooting along the long cables of his neurons, or as electrically charged molecules floating across his synapses. But I think he would have liked the idea that in the 2 centuries since his life, we would create a civilization powered by electric forces, and we would learn, near the end of that period, that the machine that lets us see and understand it all, our brain, is electric at its core. Electricity's speed lets us survive, but if this were its only strength, we'd be utterly lost and without memory. For sensations, of course, are constantly pouring into us in quick succession. Great barrages of air molecules hit the taut skin of our eardrums, and when the barrage is especially intense, we experience it as a clear sound. Our nerves carry deep into the brain, with the tiny sodium pumps boosting the signals and bobbing neurotransmitters floating upward to carry it even further. Yet if the next barrage of sensations from outside took over those same nerve cables, the first signal would be automatically superseded, wiped out of existence by a new configuration of sodium pump firings pouring in after it. We'd have no memory of what had just gone before. The ancient stability of electric charge is what saves us. For remember the aura-like force fields that emerge from all the charged particles on Earth. They have existed waiting for billions of years. They're very strong and very old, and when whole systems of neurons are arranged to fire in particular patterns, those strong pulling force fields will hold those patterns intact. Short-term memory flickers might disappear in just seconds or minutes, but our deeper memories, the ones that constitute our very personality, the permanent actors in David Hume's drama, can exist impermeable, sustained by the arrangement of electric whirling pulls within our cells, for hours and months and then decades on end. A young woman meets a wonderful man and is swept off her feet. Decades later, old and bent, with grandchildren around, she hears one of her children read aloud from his love letters. At first, the words are distant, scarcely recognized, but then the sodium pumps and neurotransmitters with their glowing electricity stir into action. She looks up. She's remembered.